We want to consider the Jehovah Witness movement. I'm not going to give you their history. You can look that up. It's freely available. But I'm going to tell you tonight why I am not a Jehovah Witness.
Okay?
And I'm not... I want you to get this. I'm not going to attack. This is not an attack on the actual people who are Jehovah Witnesses. Now, it's very important that I say that, because a lot of Christians treat them like they are the devil incarnate. I believe that their church is the devil incarnate. Well, you could. I think it's a demonic. They have demonic beliefs, but the individuals in there are trapped in there. And a lot of them are fine people. If you have a Jehovah Witness person for a neighbor, you're probably going to be blessed out of it. I had them in Texas as neighbors, very good people. And however, what they believe is error, and they're lost. And so here, listen to me, if they knock at your door, do you know what? The Lord has just given you an opportunity to be gracious and to give the gracious and kind and generous gospel. He's given you a witnessing opportunity when the Jehovah Witness comes to your door. And one of the problems about believers is witnessing to Jehovah Witnesses is that it usually ends up in a big argument. And I've seen it so many times, arguments. You're not going to argue somebody into the kingdom of God. It's the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, the explosive power. And so we must be a people who are grounded in the gospel. And these people, these dear Jehovah Witnesses, are lost souls. And we need to minister the gospel to them. And so we're going to look this evening at this matter of Jehovah Witnesses, of the Jehovah Witness, I'll not call it a church, but a group. And if you were to say to me, why, Brother Miles, are you not a Jehovah Witness? Well, I will give you three reasons. Now, there's more reasons. But I'm going to give you three reasons why I am not a Jehovah Witness. Now, here's the first one. The Jehovah Witness Bible, which is called the New World Translation. All right? New World Translation. That's their Bible. That's not the same as our Bible. That's their own translation of the Bible, and it's very misleading. If you read that Bible, I've read parts of it, I haven't read the whole of their translation, but it's very, very misleading. And they claim that the Bible, their Bible, is a sacred text for faith and practice, but it's only the New World Translation that they read. They would discourage any of their people from reading any other Bible translation. And so, I'm not a Greek scholar. I've studied Greek, but I got by the skin of my teeth. But I do read Greek scholars. And you know what the Greek scholars say about the Jehovah Witness Bible? Basically, they say it's rubbish. I'm going to give you a few quotes. Dr. Bruce Metzger, he is professor of New Testament at Princeton University, okay? He's a Greek scholar. He says the New World Translation is, and I quote, a frightful mistranslation. It is erroneous. It is pernicious. It is reprehensible. That's pretty bad, isn't it? William Barclay, one of the great Greek scholars of another age, said, it is abundantly clear that a sect which can translate the New Testament like that is intellectually dishonest. And Barclay, by the way, was no conservative. But he says that these guys are intellectually dishonest to come up with that translation. H.H. Riley, another scholar, states that from the beginning to the end, this volume is a shining example of how the Bible should not be translated. Dr. Julius Mantley, author of a manual grammar of the Greek New Testament, calls the New World Translation New World Translation as a shocking mistranslation. It is obsolete and incorrect. Folks, there's lots more quotes we could bring to your attention. The Greek scholars say it's nonsense. So, Jehovah's Witnesses not only have the Bible, their Bible, not our Bible, but they rely very heavily on other works produced by the Watchtower Society for their beliefs and their doctrinal statements. Now, the Watchtower is their headquarters, and that's where the Watchtower, they bring out these publications. Like, for example, there's a thing called the Watchtower. It is translated into more than 200 languages. 53 million copies are published monthly. 53 million, probably more. And it was started by the founder of the Jehovah Witnesses, Charles Taze Russell. These boys used to be called the Russellites. And he founded this magazine in 1879. So it's had a long innings, and they're growing and growing and growing. The magazines going out, they're always going door to door, they're getting readers of their magazines, they're getting converts, folks up the road, they've got 60 converts, okay, they've been here a lot of years, but they get converts, they work hard. You know what? There's a member of our church, they're calling with him every week. I wish he was here tonight, he couldn't, he was working. They're calling every week to try to get converts. These people are workers, these people believe in their message. They're out there hustling, they're out there trying. You can see them out here, and not every Tuesday, but oftentimes on a Tuesday or a Thursday. And you see them around around the time, they're hustling, they're working, they're growing. And so they have then another magazine called Awake. And again, it's huge, 50 million more, printed monthly, 100 different languages. And so it's supposed to tell you in that how to cope with life's problems and how to build confidence in the Creator and His promises of a peaceful new world, which is on the way. And so then they also have another book, which is called Reasoning from the Scriptures, which lists their beliefs and why they believe it, and they give answers to various Bible questions, and they will train their converts out of this manual. Now, the interesting thing, Jehovah's Witnesses generally don't know the Bible. And I promise you, they don't know the Bible, but they do know Reasoning from the Scriptures. They're well trained in their little talking points. And so you will come along and they'll make it seem as if they really know the Bible. No, they know their talking points. And the interesting thing is, will you hear this? Years ago, they were trying to convert me when I lived in Wexford Town. And it was really fun. You're really funny. The little ones came, the newly started ones, so I was very friendly with them. Always friendly, always be friendly with them, okay? Always be nice, courteous, respectful. These are people. Well, anyway, I dispatched the first two. Then they came back with more high-powered people a week later, you see. Well, I dispatched them. I asked them too many awkward questions, you know, that they couldn't answer. And they said, well, so they brought back their head honcho or somebody in a very senior position. And again, they left. But I was very interested because one of the people told me, said, you're a born again Christian. Said, this is very, you're very different because you obviously read the Bible. We target born-again Christians because they don't read the Bible. What? They don't read the Bible. That was the evaluation of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And you know what? To a large extent, they're probably right. Born-again Christians have an interest in the Word. We'll go to church and hear the Word. We'll say amen. But by and large, born-again Christians are not men and women of the Word. It's not there. The Jehovah's Witnesses know that, and they target born-again Christians. And so, Former Jehovah Witnesses will let you know that they are discouraged from reading anything but their literature. Now, however, despite the fact that they are growing, despite the fact that they are aggressively trying to get born-again Christians, we have to look at the New World Translation, and I'm not going to go through verse by verse of it, but I'm going to point out a few things where they make alarming translation errors. And if you're ever dealing with them, it would be helpful for you to know these. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. How do they render that? They say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God. They change it. They totally change it. It's a serious error by inserting the indefinite article, a, to render a phrase, a God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God? The Word was God. And there's no basis in the Greek for them coming up with a God. The Word, in the Greek, it says, and the Word was God. But that didn't suit them, so they changed it. And then, I'll give you a quotation from one of the great scholars. He said, I can assure you that the rendering by which Jehovah Witnesses give John 1:1 is not held by any reputable Greek scholar. The next scripture I would draw to your attention is Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 to 17, which simply says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, what is that telling us? Well, I'll read it slowly. For him, for by him, by Jesus, were all things created. Have we got that? Do we believe that? By Jesus, all things were created. Colossians 1, 16 to 17. If you don't believe it, you have an argument with God. This is his word. He says, by him, all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, power, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist, they hold together. However, when the Jehovah Witness comes to translate this in the New World Translation, it says, because by means of him all other things were created in heaven and earth, and things visible, things invisible, whether they're thrones or lordships or governments or authorities, all other things have been created through him and for him. Also, he is before all other things, and by means of him all other things were made to exist. They actually take the word other, which is not in any text, it's not in any of the Greek documents, it's nothing, and they insert four times other. By him all other things were created. Well, why would they say that? Well, simply because they say that God created Jesus. That's what he was, a super archangel, and God created him. And then through him, God created all other things. But the Bible knows nothing of that. The Bible says that by him, by Jesus, all things were created. And so they bring in this extra word, which is not in the scriptures. Colossians 2:9 says this, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Love that scripture. For in him dwell, in who? Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Surely they couldn't mess with that. Surely they couldn't change that. Surely they couldn't alter that. That's so simple, isn't it? For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Well, listen to this. Here's what they say. Because it is in him that all the fullness of the divine quality dwells bodily. Was that a noise?
That was the door.
Might be.
Did you hear me right? I let it go, yeah.
Probably Jamie said that.
Probably Jamie, yeah.
Oh,
For those listening on the tape, we've got someone coming up the stairs, so those who are editing the tape can cut this part out.
He's moving here.
I know, it looks like
he's moving by the step.
Oh. Chairs is hot, this is house. His RV is recreational. Mobile home, you know, or whatever.
I smell as well.
Is he coming in?
No, he's probably no. He does that. Yeah. Why is he waiting? No.
Just go on. All right.
Go on.
So in him all dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But not so in the New World Translation. They say it's the divine quality that dwells in him. Welcome, come in, take a seat. And so here the New World Translation mistranslates the word for Godhead. It calls it the divine quality. And yet there is no simple likeness. There's no way that the Greek original says anything other than the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in him. That brings us to Hebrews 1 and verse 6. The scripture says again, when he brings the first begotten into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Do you hear that? Let all the angels of God worship him. Yahweh says this concerning Christ. Let all the angels of God worship him. You cannot worship someone who's not God. Let all the angels worship him. But the New World Translation, the Jehovah Witness Translation, says, but when he again brings his firstborn into the inhabited earth, he says, and let all God's angels do obeisance to him. Obeisance. And so that's the key word here. They can't say worship. They're not allowed to say worship. Why could they not say worship? Think about it. They daren't say worship. Because only God can be worshipped. You can't worship someone who's not God. Otherwise, that's idolatry. And let all the angels of God worship him is a statement on the deity of Christ. It's a statement that says Jesus is God. Let all the angels of God worship him. So they simply say obeisance, bow down to him, but not worship. They can't do that. They can't say worship. That would give them a problem, because that would be saying that God's commanding an angel to the angels to worship Christ. And who is Christ? According to Jehovah's Witness, Christ is an angel. That's exactly what he is. We'll get into that in a few moments. But he's a fellow angel. And so then their problem, if you want to be able to lovingly draw them to a conclusion, you want to take them to Revelation 22 and verse 8 to 9. Revelation 22 and verse 8 to 9. And there we see an angel refused worship from John. He refused to let an angel... refused worship from John. And so he said, no, I'm an angel. You don't worship angels. You can't do that. Also, there's a question asked, a rhetorical question asked in Hebrews 1:5. It says, unto which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son? Now, to demonstrate that Christ is not an angel, and so he's the only one who can be worshipped. And so it's interesting, even with these translation blunders, They've got one thing that you can trace in them. One thing that's in common. It's like the New World Translation, the Jehovah's Witness translation, seems to be determined to destroy the teaching of the deity of Christ. They are so intellectually dishonest that they go after. I'm not talking about the ordinary Jehovah's Witness. They're just walking around. They're being fed all this stuff. But the leaders, the watchtower, they are on a campaign, a crusade to plunder the deity of Christ. Now, my friend, that is demonic. That's not just misled. That's demonic. Satan hates Christ. And so, either these guys didn't understand Greek or didn't have enough biblical languages, or else they are on an intentional crusade to distort the plain sense of the Bible. Now, there are other problems with the New World Translation. I don't know if you know this, and listen to this. In Scotland in 1954, the Jehovah's Witnesses were trying to argue that they were not subject to conscription because of their teachings. And so a court case was held where it was determined, you know, and so they had to find out, well, what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe. And their leader was Frederick Franz, or he was the assistant leader at that stage, but he was the head of the translation committee of the New World Translation. He was giving testimony, and there's 70 or so pages of transcripts of this. This is in court record. And so the lawyer, the barrister asked him, he said, okay, he's on under oath now, he's under oath. And he says, they said to Franz, he says, are you familiar with Hebrew? He said, yes. And then under oath he said that he could read and follow the Bible in Greek, Latin, Hebrew, Portuguese, German, and French. The following day, during the same court trial, they put his linguistic abilities to the test. He was asked to translate Genesis 2 and verse 4 into Hebrew, and he failed the test. He wasn't able to do it. He didn't even try. He simply said, no, I won't attempt to do that. People who have since left the movement said the guy had all the languages he had were 2 years at a college, 2 years of Greek. Now, normally, it's 4 years minimum that you do with Greek to get your bachelor's. He did 2 years. Good for him. He had no Hebrew, no anything, and yet he was the head of the translation committee that consisted of the other leaders of Watchtower. None of them had a university degree. Most of them hadn't even finished high school. There's nothing wrong with not having finished high school, but if you're going to translate God's holy word, you ought to know your languages. Not one of them did it, and they simply made up a translation that suited them and proved their doctrines. Dishonesty. Another reason, the second reason why I'm not a Jehovah's Witness is this. The Jehovah's Witnesses deny the deity of Christ. They say they believe in Jesus. You say to them, that come to your door, say, do you believe in Jesus? They say, I believe in Jesus. Oh, really? That's nice. Is he the Son of God? You believe? Yes. We believe he's the Son of God. And you start to think, oh, great. Then you say, is he the mighty God? No, he's not. No, he's the Son of God, but he's not God. And you see, here's the thing. The Watchtower teaches that before Jesus came to earth, he existed as a spirit being in heaven who had been created by God, and he is known as Michael. The archangel Michael is Jesus. When you see him in the Old Testament, Michael, there are at least 5 incidents, 3 in Daniel, and 2, that's the Old Testament, and 2 in the New Testament, Revelation and Jude. You can check out those scriptures that mentions this mighty angel called Michael. And so they simply say, look, Jesus is the Son of God because he was created, just the way Adam was created, and he's the Son of God. So Jesus is the Son of God, but he is Michael. And so the interesting thing is, Michael existed, then he didn't exist while Jesus was here on earth, because Jesus became a man, and then after the resurrection, he became Michael again. If you're talking to a Jehovah's Witness and they bring this up, or you should bring it up, you say there's five scriptures which talk about the archangel Michael, would you tell me which one of them says that he is Jesus? I hope you're sitting down having a cup of tea or whatever, but is he Jesus? Show me. You've made that up. You have to make that up. Not even in the context does it say that he's Jesus. And so, but they say he's one of the foremost princes. But wait a minute. If you read there, and I was reading it today, the New World Translation, you can get it online for free. It says in Revelation 17:14 that he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So even they don't change that. He's not just an exalted angel, he's Lord of Lords, he's King of Kings. And according to Ephesians 1 and verse 21, in their translation, he says he's far above every government and authority and power and lordship and every name that is named, not only in this system of things, but also in that which is to come. So even in their translation, they miss out on things which establish the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a schizophrenic translation. They're teaching him the watchtower is madness. They say he's not God, and yet their version makes it very clear that he is. And so, do you remember Michael? He met the devil, and he dared not condemn the devil with an insulting word. Do you remember that? Okay, you don't. Jude, chapter 1, there's only one chapter. Verse 9. And all he could do was say, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. He hid behind the authority of the Lord. Verse 9 of Jude. What did Jesus do? If Jesus is Michael, why didn't he say to Satan in the wilderness, the Lord rebuke you? No, he said, get you hence. In other words, go away, Satan. He said in his own authority, because he's the God-man. He's not just an archangel. He's the God-man. Go away, Satan. That's Matthew 4, verse 10. But they teach, the Jehovah's Witnesses teach, that Jesus and Michael are one and the same. And it's unscriptural for worshippers of the living and true God to give worship to Jesus because he's Michael. Amazing, isn't it? And so they teach that Jesus is created. He's the archangel Michael, and he's less, therefore, than the eternal God. He is not God. I couldn't be a part of something like that. I couldn't be a part of any movement that told me that the man who hung on the cross for me was not God. Couldn't be a part of it, and I hope you're the same. And folks, unfortunately, there's a lot of former Christians go to the Jehovah's Witnesses or go to the Mormons. You know, the Mormons don't believe Jesus is God. Absolutely don't. But anyway, we'll go along with this. Jesus is nothing less than the eternal God. And the Jehovah Witnesses violate the clear meaning of Scripture. Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, is uncreated. The Jesus of the New World Translation is created. So they preach about a different Jesus. They may have the sweetest smiles, but they preach on a different Jesus. But the ones to get at with grace and love are the young ones especially. Because all they know, they only know a little bit. And you can challenge their thinking. Be nice to them. Listen, is Jesus God? Well, what's the scripture say? Well, I've written a whole book about it and almost got a second book completed. And in India, that book is turning lives upside down in a tremendous way. But here briefly a few things. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1 verses 1 and 2. And John 8 and verse 58, before Abraham was, I am. Well, what's that? That's a statement of his deity. I am, ego me in the Greek, the covenant name of Yahweh. I am. Who shall I say sent me? Remember, Moses is at the burning bush, and the Lord is commanding him to go into Egypt and set the children of Israel free. And he says, but who shall I say sent me? And the Lord replies, I am. It's the name of God. I am. I am that which I am, who I will be, who I always am. I am. And Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Don't tell me that Jesus never claimed to be God. What did he just do in John 8 and verse 58? In John 20 and verse 28, Thomas the disciple, who's called Doubting Thomas, he hadn't believed that the Lord had resurrected, and the Lord appeared to him. And Thomas felt his wounds and bowed before him, and he said, my Lord and my God.
That's the name I'm talking about, a confirmation.
Colossians 2 and verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What do you mean by saying he's not God? Titus 2 verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. What is he? He's the great God. He's not the Archangel Michael. He's the great God, and he's our Savior. So, I wouldn't become a Jehovah Witness because, number one, their Bible translation is deceptive, it's deceitful, it's inaccurate, it's unscholarly. Second, they don't believe Jesus is God. They believe he is Michael, the archangel. But here's the third thing why I'm not a Jehovah Witness. The Jehovah Witnesses, the Jehovah Witness teaching denies the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Did you know that? The resurrection is denied. The bodily resurrection of Jesus. They teach instead that there was a spiritual resurrection, but not a bodily resurrection. The Watchtower writes, and I quote, people who were resurrected earlier were given human bodies, but later they died again. Well, that's true. That's true. So Jesus was given a spirit body that can never be destroyed. Oh, really? Yes, said the Jehovah Witnesses. Really? It's a spirit body. It wasn't his physical body. It was a spiritual body. Well, then what about his literal body? What happened then? It was a literal body. He was a literal man hanging upon the cross. What happened to that body? Oh, well, God disposed of it. He what? Yeah, God disposed of it. Doesn't exist anymore. He's raised a spiritual body. Well, then you say, but how did he be seen by 500 people? It says there in 1 Corinthians 15, and he was appeared to all these different people. All that was just, he just looked like he had a body. But that wasn't what was nailed to the cross. Yeah, but Thomas, we just quoted Thomas. What about him? He examined his wounds. And he said, my Lord and my God, are you ready for this? Do you know what the Jehovah Witnesses will teach? They say, well, he borrowed, the spirit body borrowed a physical body that had wounds in it. Great! So now Jesus is a deceiver. He and God are in the fraud business. They are now pretending to be human, the human resurrection. Look, feel my wounds, Thomas. It was all a sham. It was all false. According to them, if you follow what they teach. I'll tell you, it's a demonic religion. Not the wee souls that come around trying to get you into their church. We've got to distinguish between them and the watchtower and the headquarters. Yeah, and so Jesus is a deceiver if you follow their teaching. And furthermore, if Jesus did not physically and bodily rise from the dead, you know that makes him a false prophet. When they teach that Jesus did not physically rise from the dead, he's a false prophet. Why is that? Well, in John chapter 2, it's an amazing couple of verses. Verse 19 and through to 21. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." What? He'll raise up his temple. And the Jews said, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days." But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Jesus said, "I will raise this body in 3 days. Destroy this body, crucify me, bury me, but in 3 days." But the Jehovah Witnesses say he didn't do that. He was raised as a spirit body, not his real body. So they make Jesus into being a false prophet. And yet they say they are his witnesses. They are out here, they call themselves Christian. And so the overwhelming evidence and logical reading of the text, when you study it, it demonstrates a literal bodily resurrection. As Christians, we believe he bodily rose from the dead. We believe it was the same body that he went to the cross in. We believe he ascended into heaven in the same body that he lived in. He is still a man today. He's the God-man, but he's interceding. He's at the throne of the majesty on high, and he's still a man, and he's still God. This is the great mystery. And so, listen to the scriptures. If there's, I'm going to quote you out of 1 Corinthians 15:13 to 19. 1 Corinthians 15, I'm basically paraphrasing this, says if there's no resurrection from the dead, if there's no such a thing as the resurrection from the dead, Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. It's in vain. Your faith is in vain. Listen, if there's no resurrection, it's all nonsense. And yet the Jehovah Witnesses teach there's no resurrection. He's raised in the spiritual body, whatever that is. Your faith is vain. And then he says, we're found to be false witnesses. We've testified that God raised Jesus from the dead. But if there's no resurrection, God didn't raise him from the dead. And so we're liars if Christ has not been raised. And your faith is futile. It's in vain. It's useless. You're still in your sins if Christ has not been raised. Listen to me. If Christ has not been raised, you are still in your sins. You do not have a high priest. There's no redemption if Jesus was not raised from the dead. So these people claiming to be the true church are preaching antichrist doctrine. You are still in your sins if there's no resurrection. And those who have fallen asleep, died in Christ, are lost. For if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are above all men pitied, to be pitied above all men. If Jesus has not raised from the dead, all is lost. So to bring this to an end, I'll just simply say this. No created angel is qualified to save. Michael is not qualified to save. There's only, if you read through from Isaiah 40 through to about 50, you'll see how many times Yahweh says, "I am the only Savior. I am the only Redeemer." There's only one. Michael couldn't save. Gabriel couldn't save. The saints couldn't save. But Jesus alone, God manifest in the flesh, he saves. And he had to be fully man and fully God to save. He had to come and live and die and rise again to save. But Jehovah Witnesses, they take their doctrine from the watchtower and from the different things they feel are right, or they say are right, maybe they don't feel they're right. and faulty translation of the Bible. They deny the deity of Christ. They deny the resurrection of Christ. And therefore all possibility of salvation through Christ alone is denied. So they are preaching a false gospel. It's a damnable system through which no one can be forgiven of sins if there's no resurrection. Because you're still in your sins if there's no resurrection. But our God came here. He loved us. And he reconciled us, his people, unto God. And he did this not because we deserved it, but he did this not because we were worthy, but he did this because he's gracious. And so tonight we've considered the Jehovah Witnesses, but in doing that we've considered some of the central issues of the Christian faith. And if you do not believe these things, you cannot be considered a Christian. Unless you believe that Jesus is the God-man, you can't be a Christian. Unless you believe that he saved sinners at the cross, he has saved you, you can't be a Christian. You can be religious, you can do whatever you like. If you deny the resurrection, you're not a Christian. These are some of the central issues. And so, in the end of the day, or at the end of the day, we've got to bring the Jehovah Witnesses to the gospel. And by God's grace, the fog will be lifted. The darkness will be removed by the light of the gospel. And they'll learn how to bow before the one true living God manifest in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll admit to his supremacy and his deity and his saviorhood. And they'll be able to cry out with Thomas, my Lord and my God. And that is the gospel truth this evening. Let's pray. Father, we pray that, Lord, that you would touch Jehovah Witnesses. I want to see in a few years, Lord, that there are former Jehovah Witnesses in this assembly. Lord, that you would touch them with the gospel. Lord, not just here in New Ross, but in different places where this message is being listened to. Lord, that you would save them. I think of those young men and young women going out and earnestly contending with the elements and trying to bring their message. And Lord, would you just save them. Be merciful to them, Lord. Oh, in your kindness, turn your favor towards them and rescue them. In Jesus' name, amen.